Welcome back to the Christopher Scott Show, another exciting episode. There's so much going on right now, and there's so much to talk about, so much to be aware of. But some of it, I think, requires a little bit of a step back to take in the big picture. And I haven't really been too focused on this lately for a variety of reasons, mainly because I've been trying to keep things positive. And I don't even know if positive is the right word. Constructive, maybe I would say. Helpful. Somewhere along those lines. A lot of the news just isn't that. I mean, we've been talking about it in the past couple of days, just this this pattern of the news creating their own news is nothing but nonsense. The news arguing with the news and getting the politicians and people riled up so that they can create more news out of it, waiting for some kind of a spectacle or something like that. But all that rhetoric aside, all the emotion aside, and I have to tell you, there's a bit of a chaos to all this that I think is worthy of paying attention to, if for no other reason than the financial impact alone. But I think it goes way beyond that as well. I mean, even down to a real breakdown in civil services, like food, maybe. And you think I'm being dramatic when I say that, that this political chaos could spill over into creating a seriously dire situation for our country? I don't think people realize how fragile some of these things are. I want to be careful here because I'm not saying that this is a probable scenario. I'm not, you know, one of these guys who every day and, you know, trumping up the threat is higher than ever, high every day they're coming back with this. And I don't know how people continue to watch it. There's a lot of money getting pushed around in the survival space and a lot of fear mongering. And, you know, I've heard people saying that they think people are getting addicted to it. It's like become like a fear porn kind of thing. Anyway, all that aside, there's a real issue here, I think, in terms of the turbulence that this is going to create. I'm going to try and talk through some more of that as best I can here, but you know, there was a while back, and this is funny, I did this bit that later came out on the 5 on Fox News, like just a couple days later. I'm pretty sure for a while, maybe still, we had somebody, a writer or something from Fox News that listened to this podcast, which would be kind of logical that somebody in that space would, you know, bounce around and get ideas from different things. And I do at times as well, and that's all fair and well. But it really came out very much verbatim. And the analogy was comparing old school professional wrestling to politics. And what I meant by that, it was all fake, the fights, all of it. And that, you know, one day you'd have these guys, you know, out to kill each other, so angry for whatever trumped up reason they created around all that. And then next thing you know, they're on the same team because they've created a common enemy. And the show goes on and on and on and on. And if you were to piece together, say, like, I don't know, take a guy like Hulk Hogan, who I think's a cool guy. I'm not here to bash him or wrestling or any of that. But if you took a step back and you looked at, the career of Hulk Hogan and looked at the guys that he was an enemy with and then became friends with and the things that were said, oh, that's nice. I kicked a can here under my desk. And knowing me, it probably didn't even come through on the microphone here, just hear me saying it. Anyway, no, there's not a band under the desk. Maybe for the next generation of the podcast, we will. But anyway, I was comparing this old school professional wrestling to politics. This is lunacy. In all seriousness, when you step back and you look at it, you know, you'll see where one day they hate each other and the next day they're friendly. And, you know, I never said that. And it's just so drama laden all the time, right? Anyway, I thought it was a great analogy. You know, this idea that the politicians, they seem to be beating the dog snot out of each other. And then there's just so much show that comes with it to the point that what you're seeing isn't real. Would you agree with me on that? But we've gone to another level here. This has gone in another direction and elevated itself way, way beyond old school professional wrestling. I had done another bit, Jerry Springer Nation. You know, you look at the things going on, the drugs in the White House, all these shenanigans all over the place. You say to yourself, where's the basic professionalism of anything else? Go on. Jerry Springer Nation. It's reached the highest levels of our government. Really true when you step back and you think about it. But we've gone much further beyond all that. I mean, at this point, politics has turned into a full-on gladiator fight. They're just out to destroy each other, literally, inside the ring, outside the ring, whatever they can do to destroy the opponent. I don't know. Maybe it's become like the Bill Belichick's, you know, Super Bowl style of politics or something like that. I would say a battle of the gladiators. You got the news making their own news, which is, as far as I'm concerned, you know, another level of propaganda, whether you want to call it corporate propaganda or state-sponsored propaganda. Nonsense, complete nonsense. And then you look at the hitch out. I mean, look at what they're doing with Trump with this $400 million fine, which is obscene, with obscene terms to post it. And by the way, you think this is a rare occurrence? You think that this kind of taking by government is a rare occurrence? It's not. It's not at all. Some of the stories I can't even tell you that I know that are going on right now. Now, they're gonna be smart. They're not going to try and take $400 million from me, because that's ridiculous. But if they can, they'll take everything they can. Look at Alex Jones. And this, the system of justice has gotten so politicized, which is the point I'm trying to make, but also perverted in general. Nobody's getting a fair shake anymore. It's just crazy. Look at this ruling where they said that you can't enforce gun laws on illegal immigrants, but you can on legal citizens? Oh, it's a whole nother show in itself. Unbelievable, really. But listen to some of these stories. And you start to look at the lunacy that I pointed out, the WWF, the Jerry Springer style of things. Just put it all together. Of all this nonsense going on, just a couple days, what we're talking about, bloodbath, bloodbath, bloodbath. They were so locked in on that with Trump. Anytime the guy says anything, they're so hate and hate-filled and vile. Now, I would ask, does the left say this about the Republicans, the conservatives? You know, because you'll see a clip of Biden coming out eating ice cream, and people just start trying, what is it with this guy eating ice cream? But it's not so nasty. You know, Biden eating ice cream, nobody's accusing him of you know, starting violence, initiating violence. But Trump says bloodbath relative to a financial situation. I saw clips where they had their own news media using it over and over again, the word bloodbath. Common term, overused, probably. Trump, you know, they just lock on. When I exposed that story, by the way, not exposed it, when I looked into that story, and who was so supposedly behind the perpetuation of that, I'm laughing because I don't usually talk like the perpetuation, is an interesting fella. And I have more to come on that. I hope you can stay tuned. It's going to be tied back to a little project I was working on about 5 years ago. I got to pull it all out. I felt at the time that it was the best work that I had done in terms of journalism, I guess you could say, investigation. But I'll let you decide that. It's going to be exciting to bring this update on exactly who was the money behind it. Who was the money behind it? And I discovered who it is. It's amazing. But anyway, supposedly the same guy that was behind the bloodbath, I guess you could say. The bloodbath. Does that make any sense? That makes about as much sense as anything else right now. Well, in the meantime, with all that going on, you see, maybe we just shouldn't use the word blood when we're speaking politically, right? Everybody go to their corners, and nobody's allowed to use the word blood anymore, okay? And that's how we're gonna settle that. Nobody used the word blood. No, not where we're going to do it all. Keith Olbermann accused of saying that he hopes Trump will be assassinated. Now, I didn't look into this, and I didn't see it firsthand, and I don't want to be found to be a party of perpetuating lies the way I guess NBC was. And the former MSNBC host was reacting on X to a video clip reposted by President Biden's campaign headquarters, in which the presumptive Republican presidential nominee said Lincoln and Andrew Jackson were treated the worst in their lifetimes while complaining that nobody comes close to Trump. I'm not sure what that's all about. Keith Olbermann has sparked outrage by joking about Donald Trump's assassination on X. Trump says he's been treated worse than Abraham Lincoln, who was assassinated, the Biden campaign account archly pointed out. Olbermann responded, "There's always hope." Wow. Trump said bloodbath, and I think this is what they do, really. So, you know, the liberals, they don't want to be accused of being like Trump, but they don't want to be accused of being weak either. And then they falsely accuse Trump of something, which opens the door for them to say the very things that they say that he said when he didn't at all. What kind of nonsense is this, really? You see what I'm saying? Think about it. You can't talk like that. But we will, because you're such a wretch. Only when it's a wretch like you is it acceptable to talk like that. What? The two-rule rule. It's the new, and mob rule. It's become the new form of justice. Let's just speak about this a second. Not to get too spiritual, okay? It's not my intention. I saw this video, this woman in Afghanistan, and she dared to speak out about religion. Now, here's the funny thing, though. She wasn't speaking out against Islam. She was speaking out in favor of, but somehow a disagreement ensued. And a mob of men clubbed her, beat her, stomped on her, and drug her with a car over this, over comments she made about the Muslim religion. That was the response. That just the fact that she talked about it enraged them to the point that they so horrifically killed her. That was the mob response to that. Now, why do I bring this up? We're not in Afghanistan. What do you see when you see a something like that? This, have you ever seen or heard about something? Certainly you have, right? Just this vicious, and this is the woman at the well, really, when you think about it. This is exactly what was going to happen, and Jesus was there. And he intervened. He said, this is not the way to handle these things. And what was the overall message in there? I'm not trying to get preachy. I'm not evangelizing anybody. Just hear me out from a practical matter for a second. And somebody's going to argue with me on the theology, and that's fine too. But what was the basic message? Show a little compassion here. None of you, as much as you want to take aim at this woman, and you're just as guilty, and we all are. We got to work together to make it better. But the point of my making a point of this today, Jesus laid that spiritual foundation that later became our moral and our legal foundation. And that idea of forgiveness is paramount to that whole thing. It has to be central to that type of justice. Compassionate justice. Now you have to be asking, who are you going to be compassionate to? The woman, yes. The men who did that to her, not so much. Not so much. But that's not why I brought it up. I look at the situation in Afghanistan. What do you see? I see an absence of God. That's what I see. An absence of holiness. I guess it depends on your view of holiness, but I don't know how you could say that beating a woman to death like that is holy in any regard. It's evil, purely evil. For any reason, really. Even if you found it necessary that somebody became so horrific that they should be killed for their crime. And I'm not trying to debate that here. And I'm not going to really get into my opinion on it. Separate of that, if you are going to kill them, shouldn't it be done as compassionately as possible? At that point, it's done. It's out of our hands. People say revenge, retribution. And we've got a culture of that going. I would just say this, be very, very careful with that. When you step back and you look at what's going on in our news, our politics, our government, and what do you see? An absence of God, I believe. You can decide for yourself on that. And it's spreading quickly. Bolsonaro from Brazil did get indicted. You know what they indicted him for? Stirring up trouble was one of them. What was the official indictment on that? But also falsifying his own COVID vaccination data. That they're going to bring in a former president and arrest him. I guess there's more to the story. Needed a certificate of vaccination to enter the United States where he remained for the final days of his terms. I wonder why he went back. So they're gonna hang this guy. They're gonna jail him. And I believe that if the parties here can jail Trump, that they would in a second. And I don't see that anybody would come to his defense. I really don't. Who's gonna do it? Supreme Court allows controversial Texas immigration law to take effect. This is bad, 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 bad. Now, I know that there's people who say, wait a minute, it's about time. Step back a second. Now they're going to say that, okay, Texas, you handle it. But Texas is in no position to handle it on their own. It's a horrible conclusion. Why doesn't the federal government step up and do what it's supposed to be doing in the first place? Now you've created an environment where police in Texas can start stopping people. Who are they going to stop? Whites, blacks, brown-skinned people? Who's coming across the border illegal? Chinese, Haitians, as well as people from Central America. So who gets stopped? Answer, anybody they want. And this is a real breach of our constitutional rights. In my opinion, this court decision is not good for the country at all. And these have been shot down for many years because of this exact violation of due process. You know, it's like this recent decision where they said that they to enforce gun laws on illegal immigrants is a violation of the Second Amendment. I kind of agree with that, but I think it's another situation. Just step back and look at this. These decisions are only, I'm saying this passionately because I know people are having to have a hard time seeing what I'm seeing here. These court decisions in the long run mean bad, bad news for us. Bad news. Big time. You're going to see how different it's going to become living in Texas. And here's the thing, by the way. Watch this, okay? You now have this law on the books in Texas where they say they can do this, or they can stop people, whatever. You're going to have people arguing that and suing to force the police to stop more people and do more. You just watch. And once it goes that route and you try to put it back through the legislature to undo things, good luck, my friend. I don't know if I'm making any sense with that. I'm just telling you. You know, the Supreme Court allowing Texas to enforce immigration laws while they also allow these sanctuary cities to exist. And I'm not sure the Supreme Court's exact involvement in all that. That statement I just said is completely true. But do you understand what I'm saying? In this state, you've got this with immigration. In this state, you got that. We're becoming different countries. We're going to become the ununited states of America. Who benefits from that? China, Russia, India, Germany, maybe even Brazil. I don't know. England. Obama was over there cutting deals with the Brits. Not good. Climate change speeds up as major indicators blow off the charts. This is Bloomberg. Let's take a look into this one, shall we? We got a couple minutes. I always love the climate change stuff. Ice form on the windshield of an airplane headed from, I can't pronounce this, somewhere in Canada on November 10th, 2021. So Bloomberg posts an article saying that climate change speeds up as major indicators blow off the charts with this icy photo that you just go, ah, you know, ice. And it's an airplane in Canada back in 2021. There's a bit of a psychological game going on there, I believe. All the major indicators of climate change smashed historic records last year, with some rising so steeply that the United Nations World Meteorological Organization warned they were off the charts. That's a scientific term, I'm pretty sure. I hope you got the sarcasm of that. The lives of millions of people were upended by natural disasters, made worse by climate change. I want to just point this out. There's no list. There's no real data here, which is, would easily be included. For example, here's the top 10 and their costs. Nothing, because it's a lie. Changes are speeding up, said UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. In a statement, sirens are blaring across all major indicators. That's another scientifically technical term, too. Some records aren't just chart-dropping, they're chart-busting. I think this is how they do the safe drug safety studies these days, too, in the same chart-busting way. I don't know. The impacts worsen every crisis humanity is facing. The number of acutely food-insecure people worldwide is more than doubled in recent years. Where is the evidence of this? Where is the evidence of this? I keep hearing about all these food shortages and doom and gloom. I was joking about this the other day, you know, this food supply issue and buying long-term food storage. What's the word I'm looking for? You know, the buckets of food, which we have, by the way. And I recommend that you keep a stock. But I think to myself, what a racket. You better stock up now. There's not going to be enough food. Well, where's all this extra food coming from for everybody to stock up? What does that tell you? There's an oversupply of food. Why? Because the climate has been great. Thank God, too. Believe what you want. There is a glimmer of hope. The report noted that new renewable energy capacity, mainly driven by solar, wind, and hydropower, rose by almost 50% in 2023. I saw that the Hertz car rental CEOs, I think he might have been let go over it for the bringing electric cars into the rental fleet, and what a mistake it was. Go look at how many electric vehicles our own government has bought. That's where all the electric vehicle sales are. It's not in private. It's the same with the solar panels. You go through any new home development, any new commercial project, and you'll see very, very little commercial panel installation. Go on the road, yeah, you'll see Teslas, you see some electric vehicles, but it's not taking over. And I'm a fan of electric vehicles. You know I love my electric, but I think they have their place. Oh, speaking of which, I'll say this. Yeah, you want to talk about solar, by the way? You've heard me talk about it. Go hang your laundry out on the line. It'll sanitize them. They'll smell better and you'll save energy to boot. I'm not kidding. We literally, and we try to save energy. And I want to tell you about this a second. Cleaner is better. And why would you not want to save the money? It's how I grew up. I'm not wasting energy. So anything heavy, we try to hang outside as often as we can. We're not going to hang socks and underwear on the line. We just don't. You know, we have a clothes dryer. We take advantage of the convenience. And even if I was going to hang those things, you know, with the weather here is a limited ability. And I know there's all kinds of racks and dacks and blah, 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 blah. I think it's great if you have the time. I know. But we do hang our heavy stuff out there. That's my contribution. Anyway, we have oil heat here. And it's a beautiful system. So we got five zones, and this thing is just like a V10 heating system, man. You want heat, boom, boom, it goes. But so does the oil out of the tank. And I think we're paying $5.75 a gallon right now. We don't have natural gas here. I could, of course, go to propane, but not really have any desire to do that right now for a variety of reasons. And so we stick with the oil. Well, anyway, in the meantime, our air conditioner went and our central air system. I say, you know, we have all the ductwork there, so we're not replacing that naturally. And anymore, if you're going to, our compressor went, and it probably could have been patched together, but I wasn't interested in any of that. I'm going to get a new machine. And we needed a new hot water tank for the oil heater as well. That's how we get our hot water. And that needed to be replaced. And then we need to replace the air conditioner. So we did all at once. I said, I'm going to do all that. I'm going to add a heat pump upgrade, but I don't want the electric coil in there. I was not going that route because that's not efficient. It's not efficient at all. People don't realize that. This is the problem with the heat in the electric vehicles. The heat pump is very, very efficient. I think down to about 40 degrees. We're going to test that here. Possibly tonight might be a little colder, down to about 27. I said, let's run it and see what happens. You know, it'll wake me up if that thing's running. I'll just have a sixth sense about it if that thing's not shutting off. But I also think that they're throttling them now, which is what's making them even more efficient. I haven't seen the electric bill. We did the first 24-hour test. And I'm going to tell you, it got down last night, probably just below 40 degrees out. And I actually woke up in the middle of the night. At one point, it was running, and it shut off. It cycled on for a short period and went off. We did another test. We had the oil completely off for 24 hours. We shut the whole thing down so that we could test the system. And that new water tank kept the water hot for 24 hours. When I opened the valve, the faucet, hot water, that's how well insulated this thing is. The heat pump ran nicely through that. It was beautiful, uniform heat throughout the house. We did a little test. We were just running it at 70, which we don't normally keep it that warm, but we wanted to test it and see how it would maintain that. I said, let's take it up to 73 and see what she can do. And I was shocked. I mean, it started getting hot in the house quickly from the heat pump. Now it's at 40 degrees outside, 38, 40 degrees. I'm telling you, I'm very happy with the thing. Now, we still have the oil. You know why? Because sometimes it'll get down to zero or even colder here. And I'm going to tell you, when that happens, I believe we're going to appreciate having those good old fossil fuels in hand. And if we don't, you know what then we're going to do? We're going to fire up the fireplaces and we're going to burn some stuff. One way or the other, we're going to get some heat. Trust me. The only way to do it is to burn something, as best I can tell. But I am very happy with it. And my point about all this, things have their place. I have my electric bike. I love it. I would have an electric car necessarily, but it's just not a right fit for me right now. You know, I think if you are driving in a small area and you can be plugged in regularly and you can charge overnight and things like that, I think it's a great way to go. That's not everybody's driving. And I'm not going to spend 80, 100 grand for a Ford Lightning that, you know, has a limited range than it does. They say, well, you get a longer battery. Then the truck gets even heavier. The weight of these things is insane. And that's going to have an impact sooner or later, too. Climate change. Unreal, really. The White House and the GOP reached a spending deal. Well, we already knew that they had this deal made before the State of the Union. Who are they kidding? They put this stuff. Oh, look, we did something. We came together. That's what they want to tell you. That they came together. Oh, they sure did. They came together and they spent even more money than ever. Every time the parties come together, Americans say, we just want the political parties to work together for the good of the people. Oh, they work together. Was it good for the good of the people? Well, it's good for some. I think most of them in Ukraine. I don't know. I don't think there was any money for Ukraine, but I really didn't get into it because it's all another big waste of time. Nobody's really looking at it. They're just throwing money around and grab it while you can. That's what I say. You talk about the and I think it just adds to the political chaos, just to stick to my point, by the way. And just to back up a second to make my point clear. You know, you think it's a good thing that the state Supreme Court says, yes, absolutely, Texas can enforce immigration laws. And no, immigrants can't be barred from possessing guns. And chaos, mayhem. Then they bring in this climate change nonsense. So, you know, oh, worse than ever. Chaos, more chaos. It's created out of thin air. The weather's been better than ever. I was out last weekend, early March, with my shirt off. You say, it's blowing it off the charts. Let it go, I say. Just enjoy it. Get along for the ride. But more chaos, the spending, every budget now, it's a fight and down to the last minute. And what kind of way is this to operate? When you think about the way we've allowed this to go, we could wake up on any given morning, be in World War III, gas prices double. You just don't know. We've allowed this mayhem to continue, but it gets worse. This lawyer from Michigan, Stephanie Lambert, she's representing, I forget who, in this election fraud case, and then she ended up getting arrested. I think it was something unrelated for some weird reason, but it was very, very strange what went on and what they did there. Really strange to me. She apparently has information that she's saying proves that these elections, there's problems that they're not revealing, and they're working super overtime to keep it concealed. People get caught up in this. How do you have a peaceful transfer of power when they're arresting the lawyers all over the place? Not that I'm a big fan of lawyers. I don't know what to say. New Jersey's unique primary ballot design faces skepticism from a judge. This is a liberal guy filed this lawsuit. Let me just tell you this. I don't want to get too far into this. We're going to run out of time here. But this crap with the ballots, don't you think that they know it's like if you're better positioned or at your top left, you know, every little thing that they can do, and they play little games. They play little games to one-up the next guy. They want to be competitive, but what are they really doing? They're robbing us of our democratic choice of representation, and it's horrible, really. Far worse than this even spells out. I've seen it myself. I've said it many times on here. Where are we at here? We're out of time, but let me finish up with this last story. Step Up for SEPTA rally at 30th Street Station calls for more SEPTA funding. What is this all about? Not too long ago, SEPTA is the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, if you don't know. And they run the trains and buses in and around Philadelphia and the Delaware Valley, including out here where we are. We actually have a bus stop right near our house, which we live by. I live near this rail line now since I got home from the Marine Corps, really, 30-some years. It's been a long time, for the most part, not the entire time. And believe me, it has its charms. Where we live now, we're far enough away that it doesn't really impact us. Every once in a while, we'll hear the faint blow of the horn or something like that. But it's actually a real convenience at this point because about 2 miles away, we can get down to the train station, pick that train up, and you can get down to the airport. You can get down to Center City pretty easily. And it's not quite as convenient as, say, a limousine. I call it the poor man's limo. But if you got to hop a ride, and I did, I went, flew out and took an Uber down to the airport. And I guess I was leaving at like 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that. The trains weren't running anyway. And it was like $110 for the Uber. It was a great ride. It really was. I was like, $110 is quite a ride. And on the way back, I came back. The train was right there. I said, I'm just going to hop on the train. I did. Got back to the train station. I had 2 miles. I said, you know, I think I'll just walk. I like to walk anyway. It was a little harder than I thought carrying that luggage, I got to tell you, but I got to work out into boot. I've done that a few times. Anyway, we like to train the rail. Just a year ago, they were talking about extending the rail service. They've built a bunch of new parking garages, but now for some reason they say they may have to shut a rail line down. And so they want more funding. So there's not enough people riding it to support it. The rail line naturally wants to cut back service. No, they're going to throw money at it to run trains that nobody's going to use. And with that, my friends, I'm going to end the show. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. I sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.